You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, Harry Douglas in for Key today.
What up, baby?
What a week in sports, guys. Jay, what a week.
What a week.
You and Key against Barton Hahn tomorrow.
Yep.
They got the building a court right outside downstairs here at Seaport.
Yep.
This should have been televised. I'm going to be honest.
This should have been televised
because the lead up to this game,
It's ridiculous being marketed.
Mm. It should be televised.
But we got Stephen A. Smith. We got SportsCenter dropping little dimes on it. I mean, it's a lot of pressure.
Only on you, really. The pressure's only on you.
There's no pressure on Jay Will. Jay Will played.
I'm starting to feel a little bit.
No, but the point is, you're supposed to wipe the floor with everybody, right? You're Jay Will.
If I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm Jay Will on one leg, by the way. But if I don't, I just want to preface that. I'm Jay Will on one leg.
Yeah.
Now, you don't mess that groin up. I had surgery twice on both groins now.
And if we win, but I only score 4 of the 11 buckets,
better win
then
MVP.
Max will say I will not
better win MVP.
Better win MVP. It will diminish my legacy. I already see the narrative.
The most
Thursday morning.
The most significant SEC meeting. I haven't had it in a couple of years. Down in Florida, Saban and Jimbo in the same room and.
I hope they're in the
NIL
same room.
Stuff
I hope they're in the same room.
Destin, too. They got that money in the SEC.
Destin and Destin.
100 days till the NFL season. OTAs across the league. Lamar Jackson still hasn't signed an extension. NHL Conference Finals are set. Western Conference Finals start tonight on TNT. Eastern Conference Finals tomorrow. ESPN. Rangers versus Lightning in the East. And a star-studded matchup in the West between the Oilers and Avalanche. And, of course, the NBA Finals Thursday night.
I need Brian Daboll on a plane to go down and be at the first game for the Eastern Conference Finals because when he's there, the Rangers are undefeated. So I need it.
Well,
it's in New York. I need him, not on a plane. Wherever he is, get on the plane, get back to New York, go to the game here at MSG.
Steph Curry has won 3 NBA championships. Tatum has not won one yet, but Steph Curry is knocking on the top 10 all-time door, which right now is fastened pretty shut against him. But he's knocking on it. And Tatum is knocking on the what? Top 10 in the NBA? Top 7? Better than that? What would the finals MVP mean to him?
One of this game's greats. That's the bucket. Like in that upper tier of NBA players.
I have him 9th. Where do you have him in your top 10?
Probably 9th or 8th.
Mm-hmm. Jay has him unranked.
Top tier. He wins an NBA finals, he will be top tier.
MVP be worth extra or no?
Whatever you want to say.
I'm asking you, though.
Top tier.
He's
top
been
five.
A prolific scorer that's gotten this player to this point.
Against also
a
played
gauntlet,
defense.
A gauntlet of a schedule. I mean, he took on the challenge of guarding KD. He took on the challenge of guarding Giannis. I mean, he guarded Jimmy Butler as well. I mean, all these guys have played well, but with the exception of Jimmy Butler, not everybody else has been efficient. I mean, we were having questions around KD, whether he actually wanted to be that dominant player down the stretch. You have to give a lot of that credit to Jason Tatum.
That's the series that did it for me, is going against a guy like Kevin Durant, who we know is so efficient scoring the basketball, and how inefficient he was when Jason Tatum was guarding him. That blew
Harry
my mind.
Harry Douglas
right
likes defense. Brother was a good defender in the NBA.
I love some defense. And talking a little noise behind it.
So, Jay, if Tatum wins, I'm just curious, just for the record.
Top tier.
If he wins finals MVP, does that mean more or the same as he wins a championship?
Top tier.
But I'm saying
top tier in the NBA.
If he wins the finals MVP, does it elevate him over just winning a championship? Is that extra?
His performance that he's played throughout these playoff series has elevated him winning a finals. Wouldn't matter if he got finals MVP to me or not.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm going to remember these finals about exactly what HD said to kick off this thing against Kevin Durant and Giannis, who is the best player in basketball right now. The best player in basketball right now.
Two former MVPs.
Okay. Finals MVP is not important to Jay Will. That's okay.
I didn't say they're not important.
Oh, I just was wondering if they added something.
Here we go at 9:05
a.m. I was wondering if that was Steph Curry knocking on the top 10 all-time door. If he wins finals MVP, not important.
If he wins a championship and he doesn't win finals MVP, does that make him further away from the top 10 in your opinion? I'm curious.
It doesn't push him further away, but it doesn't bring him close. No, he wins a championship, it brings him closer, but not as close as winning a finals MVP in addition, of course.
Yeah, because you can't forget now, you do have a guy in Jaylen Brown who can get hot and potentially be a guy that wins finals MVP.
Same with Andrew Wiggins,
Jason Tatum can still play well in that series and be a major factor, and they win the title.
Mm. Who does a win in the championship, who does a ring mean more to, Kyle, in Washington, Tatum or Steph?
Kyle, are you there?
In Washington?
In Washington.
Okay, Jay, I'll answer your questions. Don't worry. He just doesn't answer my questions.
We got you now, Kyle.
Okay, hey, Max, first of all, let's talk about MVPs.
Okay.
Jordan didn't win 8 in a row. He should have. It doesn't matter. He's still the greatest player ever.
Yeah, but he won 6 finals MVPs. He's played in 6 finals.
You're right, but he didn't win 6 regular season MVPs.
No,
so
he
here's
won
my
five.
Point.
He should have won 10.
I think it's, this is why I think it's a bigger deal for. Not Steph, but Tatum. Because Steph already has the greatest shooting record of all time. He's already a three-time MVP or a three-time NBA championship, two-time MVP, two-time gold medalist. He's a Hall of Famer already. Jason Tatum wins a championship. Guess what? He finally gets to be on that pedestal with everybody else that's actually won a championship. Mm.
I think that's really the fundamental argument. Does it mean more to get to the party, or does it mean more to get to the most exclusive club ever? Like Steph, if he could, I do agree with Jay about this. I think it's the most powerful argument for Steph. However he got all the championships, if you take Steph off the Warriors, it never happens. So his presence leads to success at the highest level, right? It means a lot. I do think a finals MVP would enhance it.
So Eric Spoelstra said something the other day when the Heat lost. He was talking about Boston. He said, man, imagine that, keeping together your core group of guys, going through ups and downs, and they're better for it when they see themselves on the opposite side of the wall looking back at all their struggles, right? Think about these two teams. Mm-hmm. They haven't just went out and bought a championship. Their core unit has been together for a long period of time, and it's equated to them being in the world championship.
So the great point about that to me is, like, everyone looked at it from KD's point of view when he joined the Warriors, and it was weak because you went to a 73-win team. You're an MVP-caliber player. Now it's impossible to lose. So if you win a championship, what does it really prove about you, KD, right? Which is why I thought it was bold of him to leave. But from the Warriors' point of view, they didn't just throw together some free agents or something. They were such an attractive place to play that KD looked at them and said, I want to play with those guys. That, from the Warriors' point of view, it, of course you go out and get KD if you can, but you're not throwing everything together. You're just adding a piece on
CHD, top. CHD, this goes back to your comment, Max, about, you know, Steph never winning finals MVP. And I will make the counterpoint. So, like, what is your overall thought on Kevin Durant? Because if Kevin Durant doesn't have Stephen Curry, he's never a two-time finals MVP.
It's true. I would say my overall thought on KD is the next guy in the top 10 all-time will not be Steph. It will be KD. KD will be the guy to replace somebody before Steph because he's better than Steph.
But they needed each other, though. They needed each other to get a common goal.
To get past LeBron James.
LeBron's such a bad dude. But here's something I hate when people say. They get upset about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. I play in the National Football League for 10 years. You play basketball for a ton. I want to play with good players. I want to play with good players. If I see somebody win, I want to go win too.
I equate it to when LeBron James left Cleveland to go to Miami. He was like, oh, I want to feel what it's like to be part of a good culture.
Yes, I want to be coached
by a good coach and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, play next to guys who understand how to play. That's KD going
and
to
how
Golden
to
State.
Win and yes. How to do it efficient.
You know, maybe that's the difference between even Miami, which was thrown together more, and Golden State, which was just
culture was intact.
Yep. And that's the difference between that and Brooklyn.
Yes.
Where it was Brooklyn
no
was not it's not that Brooklyn had a bad culture, it was just more of a blank slate. But it wasn't like the culture was part of the what was adding to everything, part of the magnet. Kobe in Nebraska. Curry or Tatum, what does a championship mean more for? Who does it mean more for?
I would say it mean more to Tatum just because Curry legacy already cemented. You know what I'm saying? He can only add to his greatness at this. Tatum, he's still trying to get there. And honestly, it's a hot take for you, but I honestly personally don't even think he's the best player on this team. I think Jaylen Brown more efficient and a more tenacious scorer and more defensive more defensively well-rounded, and I'm going to leave at that.
I think Tatum has a higher basketball IQ. That's my opinion watching them both play.
I think Tatum probably has a higher ceiling offensively than Jaylen Brown. But, I mean, he ain't – my man ain't that far off now. I'm going to tell you something. From what, like, you watch a lot of the details of the game, Jaylen Brown is a dog defensively. He may not get the same credit that Jason Tatum has gotten over these last three playoff rounds, but it ain't that far off, my man. It ain't that far off.
And his 40-point game got diminished because of the seven turnovers. But let's be honest now. Scoring 40 points in a playoff series.
I mean, Jaylen Brown is
special. He's a bad dude, I think. I watch enough of them now, both, where once I was like, oh, yeah, Tatum is a little – I think Tatum is a better player than Jaylen
Brown. I think Tatum is more of an electrifying scorer.
Yes, but as you mentioned, he's now become – a legitimate two-way player. He may not be a shutdown defender, but he's a legitimate two-way player.
I do want to say this, though. Like, you know, we end up doing this a lot of times. We like for there to be one guy and not be his team. Like, this is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's team. I'm just letting y'all know. It's both their teams now.
You know, it would be an interesting way to see who wins finals MVP. Might be an interesting thing to see. God. Who wins it, Jaylen Brown or...
So, let me ask you. Here's a great question.
That's right.
If the Boston Celtics win the NBA Finals and Jaylen Brown wins the Finals MVP, will that minimize what Jason Tatum has done throughout the playoffs?
I would rephrase it. It doesn't minimize anything. But
it makes you think that Jason Tatum didn't show up when
it matters
the most?
In other words, like all these are all accomplishments.
I know, but would that make you think that Jason Tatum doesn't show up when it matters the most?
No. But if Jason Tatum wound up playing in five finals and never won MVP, I'd be like, huh.
Let me tell you what happened to me.
Yeah.
So – my sophomore year, we win a national championship.
Me too.
I averaged 32 points going into the Final Four.
Yeah.
Was like shooting over 55% from the field, over 45%. I was hot. I was dominating everybody. Got to the Final Four, I got cold. Right? So does that minimize my place in helping us win a championship during that run?
No.
Because I got most valuable player.
Right. You were a two-time player of the year and a national
champion. Shane Battier and Mike Dunleavy were the guys.
Right. That's fine. You're also a... You're also basically have the mentality of a two guard, but now you're asked to play point. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on for everybody. Yeah. I'm just trying to help you reframe the conversation.
May I say this? If Jason Tatum or you were the best player on your team and played in five finals,
you see what he does? But
let me point out, they have been favored now in six finals. If they wind up,
isn't Boston favored in this?
No,
finals?
No, the Warriors are. Double checked.
Okay.
The reason I'm telling you that the Warriors have been favored in every single final series they've ever been in, the reason is in the regular season, Steph Curry looks like one of the very greatest players who've ever lived. That's why he was unanimous regular season MVP. Oh my God, the guy is he's like Michael Jordan, right? When the playoffs come around, and especially the finals, he is something less than that.
So if that's
the Warriors have not won every series they've been favored in once the finals come around.
Why are they favored? Why does Vegas favor them?
I just said. Because until now, until then, that point.
But if you're saying there's a constant theme of his playoff performance dropping, then why are they favored?
Because it's hard.
Why have they been favored every single year?
Because it's hard to get over emotionally what you just saw during the regular season.
Vegas ain't worried about no damn emotions.
Nah, Vegas,
they take my money every time.
They worry about their money.
They ain't worried about emotions.
And money only.
And so Steph's performance, were it just to stay as it normally is, they would justify the odds. But it has too often declined to something it normally isn't. Even if it's not a big decline, it's a decline.
What?
And so the Warriors have underachieved. I've seen it. So what I'm saying is an MVP would address that. It would be Steph playing as he normally plays and justifying the odds.
So do we have time for me to say what I'm about to say right now? So I'm up here looking at Steph Curry and his points and his averages over the playoffs. And he's never been under 23. But if you go to 2014 and that level above, that year above, 28.3, 25, 28, 25, 28, 25.
I got you, AC.
I can't sit here and say Steph Curry.
What's your experience watching him in the finals?
How many points did Kobe Bryant average in NBA Finals for his
finals,
career?
I don't
know off the top of my head.
AC, you ready for this? Kobe Bryant averaged 25 points per game in his NBA Finals average. Steph is averaging more, 26.5. Well,
Taking points in a vacuum, it depends on the context of the league. Wait a minute.
The number of points scored
per possession in Kobe's era was much lower than it is today.
I'm not saying he's better.
It's moments, though. We gotta stop saying he didn't play well in the finals. It's certain moments where he didn't
No, but I'm saying I'm not saying he didn't. I'm not just saying the signature moments, which are correct, right? But also, in addition to that, he is not quite the same player. Maybe it's because he's drawing more defensive attention, whatever. But we've seen it. We don't have, like, we've all seen it. He's not quite as good in the finals as he is in the regular season for the most part. Some guys are.
But it is the finals, and you're playing somebody times guaranteed. And if it goes game seven,
and he's a smaller player.
2015 comment. Were you saying that Steph Curry wasn't the best player on his team?
I think he was the best player on the Warriors. But I look at that finals with an asterisk because they were at the end of the season, what you knew, they were the second best team in the NBA.
Okay. So I'm just making sure, because that's different than what you said the first time around.
Okay. So it is.
Okay.
It's
fluid. I know it's moving. Target's just, there's slight
nuances. I will refine what I say. It's no problem. If you make a good point, I will acknowledge the point. Yeah. He was the best player on a team that wound up winning the championship. The only reason they won the championship, because he had a substandard finals compared to his regular season, is because LeBron James's two best teammates, who were both All-Stars, neither one could play. They weren't on the floor. And so the Warriors won. By the way, in six games. And LeBron was so much better than Steph that they had to give the MVP to the guy who guarded LeBron, because you couldn't give it to Steph.
The second greatest player ever to play the game.
Did he guard him, though?
But he didn't really even guard him.
But you know what I mean, Yates. You know what I mean. He guarded him. He was enough his counterpart.
Enough. We averaged 35, 12, and 9 or something wild like that.
Yeah, right. In other words, you didn't want to give it to the player on the losing team, and you couldn't give it to Steph. That's why Iguodala won.
He averaged 36, 13, and 9. Yo, Andre Iguodala did nothing to
stay. So why did they give it to Iggy? Why did they give it to Iggy, Yates? Why did they give it to Iggy? Just answer that question.
Because of certain
moments.
Because
you probably voted for it.
No.
Because it's a media thing. By the way, I wish they would let players. You know why? Because Iggy wouldn't have got MVP.
Right.
LeBron would have got MVP.
Right.
But I know Stephen.
That's my point.
But that doesn't diminish Stephen Curry and the greatness that he had to get his team.
Guys, there's a larger issue. You're not going to give it to a player on the losing team, even though he should have. They should have.
Because LeBron's the second greatest or the first greatest.
There's always a second greatest or first. There's always a Kareem. There's always a LeBron. There's always an MJ. There's always the baddest dude you've ever seen standing in your way. There always is. That's why those guys are in the top tier, and the guys who aren't quite as good as those guys are in the next tier below. And so far, Steph is in that tier below.
That's why a finals MVP would be so big. What tier below are you talking about?
Is he in the same room as LeBron James and Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is anyone bringing up Steph as the greatest player who ever lived?
No.
And if he would have shown up in those finals and obliterated them in 15 and been the best player, and in 16 would have won the championship instead of losing and not scoring in the final 4.5 minutes of Game 7 at home, if he'd have done those things, then the answer might be yes.
But I'm not trying to compare him to be the greatest player of all time. I'm trying to help you understand that the person he was playing against is in the conversation for the greatest player of all time.
He's the best player to ever play.
Yates, calm down.
Yates, no, I want Yates to be angry.
Best player to ever play the game. LeBron James
is a benchmark on Stephen Curry.
There's going to come a time, it's going to be very soon.
It's not the same.
You guys are going to have to accept the fact that all
Jordan's
these records
peak is
that we're
going
to see when LeBron is out of the NBA, it's going to be a reason why people say he is the greatest who ever played.
By the way, the consensus will never be LeBron because Jordan was better.
My closet is full of Jordans. That's all I'm going to say.
That's cool. That's cool.
Six finals MVP.
Regardless of what you guys are debating who's greater, you're debating between the two. And I'm trying to help you that you say there are levels to this. Stop using LeBron James or Michael Jordan as benchmarks. These dudes are the elite of the elite of the elite of the elite.
Doc in Virginia, who's it mean more for, Steph or Tatum?
It mean way more for Steph, man. I'm with Matt. Y'all can hear me?
Yeah.
That's a
what
smart
do you mean
call
you're Matt?
Right
yeah,
there.
Explain yourself, please.
That's a very good explanation. Already.
Because I hate the way people sleep on how they blew that 3-1 lead. Like, we just bypassed that. That was horrible. He needs to redeem himself.
Yeah, LeBron.
He won two championships since.
When LeBron blew it against Dallas, and he blew it, he showed up with the greatest finals he ever saw. That's how he did it.
You guys are acting like.
I think he's talking about like who has more to gain with the title, Curry and Tatum.
Yes.
He's talking about Curry in that sense right now.
Yeah. I hear that.
But he's saying one of the things Curry has to overcome was an enormous choke. LeBron had an enormous choke job against Dallas. He certainly overcame it with finals performances after that. Steph has yet to have the kind of redemptive finals performance that would make you say, okay.
I don't need to have a redemptive finals.
After the greatest choke in the history of American team sports?
I just won two chips after that. And that guy
with KD,
he decided to come play with my ass. Not the opposite way. I didn't go over and say, hey, Kevin, let me go join you in OKC. You came over here to play with us.
Yes.
Am I supposed to say, hey, Max Kellerman, you're really good at your job. Don't come to our show. No, come to our show. You want to rock with our show? Come be with us. Let's do this.
You make a good point, Jay. That's a very good point.
See, if you tie back into Max, you'll win.
It's good. Dan in Texas, who has more to gain?
Gentlemen, I'm going to go with Steph Curry. I think the reason Steph Curry means more, he's already 12 or 13 years into the league, right? We don't know how much he's got in him. He's 6'2", 180 pounds. And I think with adding that, it's the little stuff, right?
Golden
State Warriors, and they lock him in for three as the Warriors. Then you solidify your name with the team, Golden State Warriors, for the history of NBA and the Warriors' history, right? So that's my biggest thing is, besides the big stuff that we already know about, it's the little stuff. You think Warriors from now and your children are going to think, oh, Steph Curry. Just like when you think Bulls, you think Jordan. And when you think Lakers, you think Kobe.
Yeah, you know what Steph, like, let's talk about stuff Steph's already done. He's already synonymous with the Warriors. And also, he's already the greatest under 6 foot three player who ever lived. Like, he's already those things. Like, I'm not sleeping on Steph's greatness. I'm just saying the topmost inner sanctum of all time greats, you don't just show up there. You got to earn your way in. 100 days from the 2022 NFL season. What does Jay know? He was just the number one, the number two pick in the draft, won two Player of the Year awards and a national title. However, I have big opinions. 100 days, what does Harry know? He played in the NFL. His brother played in the NBA. However, I just assert that I'm right. 100 days from the 2022 NFL season, and certain teams already have their eye on the 2023 season.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Lamar tried to clear things up because a lot of people say, wait a second, if he doesn't want to get an extension done, that means he doesn't want to be here in Baltimore. And Lamar said on Twitter, he said, no, he loves Baltimore. He wants to stay here. That has nothing to do with it. Lamar's going to bet on himself.
We've been down this road many times, right, through the years. So I just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him.
I've been a league MVP. I've been impeccable off the field. That's the bill. If you don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today.
Break him off a little something.
ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hey, yo!
Guys, guess who's with us now? This is,
by the way,
I think this might be his favorite song, too. Just so happens. Coincidence. Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft analyst. What's going on, Mel?
A rare, almost summer appearance talking NFL draft, guys.
Mel, we are 100 days out of the NFL season opener. Lamar Jackson still doesn't have a contract, Mel. What do you make of what's going on with him and the Ravens?
Well, yeah, once he wants one, he'll get one. The Ravens have a chance now to kind of bide their time and evaluate a little more of a Lamar Jackson as he develops. And if he's going to get paid like one of the best in the NFL, he's going to have to play like it again, and then they can make that call, and he'll get paid. So it's more, I think, risky for Lamar than it is for the Ravens right now. So it gives them time. Time is on their side. I think if I'm Lamar, I'm getting a deal done with the Baltimore Ravens ASAP.
Now, Mel, your big board was released today. Some big names on that list. Now, before we get to that, I want to ask you about your top three Heisman candidates going into next season. Who are your top three guys and why?
Well, I always go by the best player, and the best player by a wide, wide margin is Will Anderson Jr. So this is a kid that did remarkable things. People don't realize how great he was and impactful he was against the run. 17.5 sacks, 34.5 tackles for loss, 101 tackles. He's second on the team. What Nick's going to have to do is let him play tight end and catch some touchdown passes. If he does that, catch three or four touchdown passes like Charles Woodson did, you know, catching the ball and maybe punt return. If Will Anderson Jr. plays a little on offense, he's a guaranteed Heisman winner. But just being a great player isn't enough. And Will Anderson Jr. is a great player. He deserves the Heisman Trophy if he plays anywhere close to what he was last year, this year. And he would be number one. Then you go to the quarterbacks, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Anthony Richardson, Florida, if he has a dynamic year both as a runner, which we know he is, and a passer, which needs to improve, I would throw Anthony Richardson Jr. from Florida into that mix.
Now, the funny thing about Will Anderson Jr., to put everything in context for the listeners, that led the nation sacks that he had and tackles for loss. But I want to ask you a question about Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. If you're an NFL team, how do you differentiate the two?
That's a tough one. I'm going to let them play it out. I think they're like affirmed in Alidar going into the year 1-1A. They're equal on the board. We have to see how the season plays out. To answer your question, physically, it's C.J. Stroud, 6'3", 215, exactly. Rocket arm. Bryce Young, is he around 6 feet, 195, but quick release, sees the field, can run, but he chooses not to a lot. Had the bad interception against Georgia. We know all about that. One great year for both. We'll see how they go. Stroud was 69% or better in 7 of the last 9 games. He was on fire, 14 touchdowns, 1 pick last 3 games against some pretty good teams. So, yeah, right now it's too close to call. If I had a guess who would – if they both have great years – I would probably give the nod ultimately late April 2023 to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, because of his size and his frame.
Yeah. If they're equal.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN senior NFL draft analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So let me follow up with this then, Mel. What team is in the best position to get the QB next year or next year's draft?
Well, I think a lot has to be determined by how does Jalen Hurts play? How does Daniel Jones play? All these quarterbacks that are kind of on the so-called hot seat, that this is their year to shine, how do they do? The Eagles have a lot of draft capital. Jalen Hurts has a lot of talent now around him. This is a team that has a shot to go a long way. Is Jalen Hurts going to prevent that from happening, or is he going to develop into a quarterback that we're all raving about as this dual-threat quarterback with great character who's going to be a star moving forward for a long time? So how that Daniel Jones, now with Brian Daboll, can that talent around Daniel Jones stay healthy? Will the offensive line gel? All those things have to come together for both those quarterbacks, and there are a couple teams that you would throw into the mix. As opposed, obviously, you're going to talk about, you know, what happens with the Lions and Jared Goff moving forward, Seattle, what happens with Baker Mayfield, where does he end up? Seattle could be a team in the mix. But right now, I would keep a close eye on the Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles to see Hurts and Jones, whether they develop into elite quarterbacks this year.
Yes, that's the only thing I really care about is the Giants. So let me ask you, Mel. Look, if you took a guy like Justin Herbert, also drafted 6th overall.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't have to come together. He's going to ball out of control. We already know that because he's great. You watch him. Daniel Jones seems to need everything just right. And now they have Evan Neal and they have Daboll. And of course, there's an adjustment period, but it's not like it's his first or second year in the league. What do you expect from Daniel Jones? And if he can't do it, which quarterback best fits what Daboll wants to do?
Well, to answer your question, Max, and all you guys have covered all the sports, Harry, football, and everything you guys do, great is great. Everybody's not great. So the great ones can play through injuries around them, things going bad around them, because they're great. Everybody's not great. If you're good to very good or mediocre to good, you can't have that happen. So everybody's not great, Max, and that's what you're asking. Justin Herbert is a great quarterback, and Josh Allen is a great quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. So when you're getting into that category, how many of them are great? You're going to have 32 great ones. You're not going to have 10 great ones. You may have 5. Max, maybe 3. So, again, there's a lot of decent to good quarterbacks that can't overcome what the Giants had to deal with in terms of injuries, drop passes, everybody around him out.
Mel, if Daniel Jones can't, because he's not a great one, right, and things aren't just right in this year and they decline, hasn't gotten an extension, what do you expect? Like, who fits what Daboll wants to do?
Well, the dual threat with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. You're not going to find that. Anthony Richardson, that's why I bring up Richardson from Florida when we talk. Harry asked about the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson flashed last year at Florida. Okay, he's a big-time talent. He's 6'4", 235. He can run. He averaged 8 yards a carry. He went over 400 yards. He had some remarkable runs. But as a passer, that's where he needs to evolve and develop. If he does, then Anthony Richardson could be that guy. C.J. Stroud has awesome talent. If he plays as well as he did late last year, think about this. Last 9 games, 36 touchdown passes, 3 picks. C.J. Stroud has it all, and he's got Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's the number one receiver in this draft, and a great running back in Henderson. And Paris Johnson Jr. will be probably an elite left tackle moving from guard. So everything around him is there for C.J. Stroud to be the guy that goes number one overall. And then Bryce Young would fall into place next. And then you have other quarterbacks like Tyler Van Dyke, Miami, and Will Levis from Kentucky and others. This is going to be the year of the quarterback. But to answer your question, I'm watching very closely Anthony Richardson from Florida because he is the ultimate, potentially, guys, if his pad. We said the same about Josh Allen. He needed to do this and that passing-wise and all that. Well, he did it. Right, and Daboll had something to do with that, as did Ken Dorsey and Josh Allen with his incredible approach and great work ethic and awesome talent. But you throw Richardson into the mix as a guy that I have right now at 13 on the board, he could end up battling for the top spot, or he could fall out of the top 25 entirely and need to go back to Florida for the 2023 season. So I think he's a guy to watch his development, guys, at Florida to see what kind of quarterback he, like I say, evolves into this year.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson, definitely a guy I thought Florida should have played a lot more last year over Emory Jones. Mm-hmm. Reminds me a lot of Cam Newton size-wise and his running ability and the athleticism. But I want to talk about Tyler Van Dyke from Miami and Will Levis. What are those two guys? What are some of the things that they need to do to make sure they stay in the first round at this point?
Yeah, great question. Levis has to cut down on the interceptions and gets a little jittery in the pocket at times, but he can run and he can beat you with his legs. He's got a powerful arm, but cut down on the interceptions, show a little bit more patience in the pocket at times, and see the field a little bit better at times. But I think when you look at Tyler Van Dyke, he had some games where his accuracy was a little off, but size, arm strength, he can power the ball down the field. He can run as well when he has to. He can beat you with his legs at times. That's not his forte, though. I think Levis much more so. Will Levis had some games where he was outstanding running the ball. And you go back to the Georgia game, he made some really good plays against that Georgia defense. So I think Levis and Van Dyke are potentially, guys, top 10 picks. But they need to improve in the areas I talked about.
Not everyone can be great. Like, for example, Daniel Jones. But Mel Kiper Jr. can be great. Thank you, Mel. Appreciate
it. Don't tell
McShay
that. Have a great week, guys.
Shots fired.
McShay's great, too. You're both great. As my mother used to tell my brothers and I when we would fight, now, girls, you're both pretty. Now, listen. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is brought to you by Nature Valley. Nature Valley has helped restore access to 10,000 miles of national park trails and counting because everyone deserves to experience what's out there, like your kids. Their kids, and even their kids' kids. So head over to your local park trail to see for yourself Nature Valley. Life happens out there. Choose your own adventure. Coming up, KJM.
The Boston Celtics, not once, not twice, 3 times winning in Miami.
No matter what adversity is put in front of us, no obstacle, no loop, we're going to get through it, we're going to get over it, we're going to get around it. And that's just how we live our lives on the court.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So this is what I want to know, Jay and Harry. I have three daughters. They're now aged 13, 10, and 7. So, you know, Memorial Day, we're grilling, the whole thing. They still, none of them want condiments on their food. They don't want, like when they were babies, they used to eat spicier food than they do now because we introduced them to spicy food and stuff, right? They're, like, I'm talking about if they have a cheeseburger, I make them like little sliders. They don't want ketchup. They don't want mustard.
Because you're doing that seasoning right.
They don't want, well, yeah, I mean, I'm putting little, you know, they don't like extras. They don't want sauces. They don't want condiments. You know what I mean? Is this a normal thing?
Well, especially if the oldest starts it in the middle child season and then the youngest sees the middle child and the oldest, they will copy each other. That's how my kids are. Like my son with chicken wings, he first started eating them without ranch. As soon as he sees my daughter wants ranch, I can't eat it without ranch, Daddy. I need ranch. Yeah. Because your sister wanted ranch. Now you need ranch every time.
Mm-hmm. See, my son just inhales anything. Doesn't matter. He's not the age you can't recognize it yet. That is intriguing. But my son's also one, right? And my little girl's still on the way. So it doesn't really set the same kind
of mind. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, so my oldest, Amelia, just eats whatever. She loves ketchup, though. That's her thing. Doesn't rock with mustard. Doesn't rock with anything.
I'm trying to talk about this. Delicious.
Like, she's like, ketchup.
The only thing I've never liked, never, is mayo. Like, I just don't like it. Yeah, that's right. But I'll eat, especially once you hit, like, a certain age and you grow real fast.
Like a sandwich?
No, man, I hate it. No, hate it.
Mayo is amazing.
No, hate it.
What about mustard? You
love mustard. Love ketchup. Mustard is nasty. I'm telling you, I'll talk about inhale food. I get it. I just can't mess with it.
I can do mayo and mustard.
A lot of people can.
Yeah, okay.
But my point is, at a certain, especially when they start growing fast, like they're growing like weeds now. But you would think like that's when you just want to inhale it, you open the fridge, just eat everything. But they still are very picky with the sauces and the
condiments. Do your kids eat a lot or do they?
No.
See, I got this body type. I don't know about HG. I used to eat a lot as a kid, but I was always running it off, burning it. And now we're like, our kids are like, slow down. Like, you can't eat everything.
Two-fisting it.
Exactly. Last year for me, I started slowing down. I used to have to eat like 6 or 7 meals a day. Now I only eat 3.
Because your metabolism, when you're busy like that, the pandemic slowed a lot of people down. I had a whole
checkup. I did a whole battery of tests, and they were like, "Yeah, my body fat's higher than I'm used to." And they asked for my diet and exercise. I get, "No, it's really good." I'm like, "So what's the problem? You're eating too much. You're eating fine, but it's too. I'm hungry.
You got to eat in smaller meals.
I'm
more
hungry.
Smaller.
You I don't sound get satisfied hangry. From a small
and
meal.
I know you haven't eaten this morning. You sound hangry right now.
Yeah, well, I get hangry. It's true.
Yeah, you do. I see it. I get hangry all the time.
Go to the diner with me after.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Splash Brothers spreading the floor. And so it's such a different dynamic defending the Golden State Warriors, but it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a close series. It's going to be a tightly contested series.
Their transition defense might be the best in the league. And against the Warriors, you better believe you need a good transition defense.
Game one, is it a wash for the Celtics because of fatigue and also the awe factor of being on the road on this stage? It's new.
Ain't a crook, son. Just a shook one. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today, ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80. So, this is Choose Your Own Adventure. You voted at Key J. Max on Twitter what you want us to talk about. 16% want to talk about Key and J. versus Bart and Han. 2-on-2 here at the Seaport. Building a court just for that tomorrow. But 19% want to talk about Aaron Donald's future. But 26% want to talk about Jimbo versus Saban part two at these meetings. But 39% want to talk about Tatum or Curry, who a championship would mean more for. So, Jay Will, who would a championship mean more for, Jason Tatum or Steph Curry?
I've been saying about this all morning long. I know what Stephen Curry is. Now, will the stats equate that for everybody at the end of the day? Maybe not. But if Steph never wins a championship, I know I've seen one of the most prolific scorers, the greatest shooter the game of basketball has ever seen. Jason Tatum, for me, the gauntlet that he's gone through this year, KD, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, the way he's answered that call, to him to winning a championship at the age of under 25, where we have him amongst the other top tiers, you have one before Luka, we have one before Devin Booker. I think it just changes the conversation around Jason Tatum. No longer is, oh, one of the best under 25. It's, no, one of the best in the game.
Does it mean more to get your first one and enter the first conversation one of the elite in the game today? Or does it mean more to get one and maybe win a finals MVP and enter the conversation for top 10 of all time? Patrick in Staten Island, who does it mean more for?
Patrick. Yo.
Just.
Oh, we're losing
Patrick him. Waited all that time.
We're losing him. We're
and
losing
his
him.
Cell phone
for
cuts
a bad
off.
Bad signal, Pat. Come on, Pat.
Alan in Orlando, who's it mean more for?
It clearly means more for Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. I don't even think this is a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry, what more does he have to do? About the only person on the planet that doesn't respect him is you, Mac.
I respect him.
Look at 2018.
Shot.
Finals. He led the Warriors in scoring in three out of
MVP?
Four games and only had five less total points than Durant.
Why did Durant win
That's
MVP?
A subjective. Yeah. Well, guess what? Who voted on
So, in
it?
Other words, Steph, I when mean, he has overwhelming odds in his favor and his team can't lose, that's when he has a big game? Come on, man. Like, what about when the odds are more even? When the odds are more even against Cleveland in the first two series before KD got there, he didn't play his best. Then when he gets KD and you can't lose, now he plays his best? Let me see. Here's an evenly matched series, and they're favored, the Warriors. But it's more of a fair series. Let's see Steph play his best now. You say I hate on him, but he's the greatest 6'3 or under player who ever lived. He's a top 15 player of all time. I'm talking about top 10. You just automatically put him in there? I don't know. So you're hating on either Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant or Larry Bird or someone, right? Who are you hating on? That you go, by the way, Steph's not next in line to join the top 10. KD is. He's the next dude in line.
I don't know about that.
Really? They played on the same team. KD was better. They were on the same team in their primes. KD was clearly better.
I mean, when KD gets to Eastern Conference Finals or NBA Finals, okay. Let's talk about it then.
I still think it's Steph, though.
One is better than KD?
No. I'm talking about when it comes to, like, Steph, Jason Tatum. Because here's another thing that I left out earlier. Everybody thought the Warriors were done. A lot of people thought the Warriors were done, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors are not done. The core players are still there.
Bob
they just
Myers
added,
is a hell of a
they
job.
Just
man.
Added more pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah. But see, I'm also like, HD, when we say players are better, it doesn't mean that their resume is better, right? You could be a better player and your resume
Correct.
Cannot be as good.
And Steph has like, a better resume than Kevin
yes.
Durant.
Mm-hmm. It's but like Charles Barkley is a great player, but his resume isn't as good as people who have won championships.
There are players with better resumes who are not as good as Charles Barkley. That
yes.
is true.
Yes.
So we're talking about whether your resume matches up to the greatest of all time. That's what we're doing here with this conversation.
I think
because if we're having a conversation, no, I think we're having a conversation about who are the best ballers of all time. That might be a different conversation.
Greatest ballers in the context of their eras. Like, okay. Steph has never really been the best or second best player in his league.
If we're talking about the greatest ballers of all time, yeah. my baller crazy mind goes to AI. He's one of the most prolific ballers I've ever seen. But
it's not a one-on-one game.
He doesn't have the resume, but he's one of the most gifted ballers the game's ever seen.
And if he was 6'6", he'd be the greatest player who ever lived, but he wasn't.
But that's what I'm saying. So we're talking about resumes, Max. That's what we're doing.
It's resumes, yes, but it's also...
That's the same thing you use for LeBron James. You say, Michael Jordan's resume is impeccable.
Steph has a better resume in terms of team accomplishment than KD, kinda. But KD's the better player. Like, we saw them on the same team. KD was better, right? Corey in New York, Tatum or Steph, who would it mean more for?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Corey.
I miss you saying Kiwi, Corey. Hey, Kiwi.
Yeah,
Tell Kiwi I said hi.
And I love the cows in the background. You got it. What's up, brother?
I got a question, but first I want to say it means more to Tatum because it puts a stamp on that he is a superstar. Yes. Right now, he's close saying he is a superstar, when he wins a championship with the Celtics, right now, he is a superstar.
Yeah, and I think if you have that championship, like talk to Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen about that. That championship means a whole lot. All right.
I can't.
Until the end. I you know, until the end. He got me today.
Yeah. He's already a superstar. I just want to throw that out there.
Who? Tatum?
Yes.
But I think a champ, listen.
He's a superstar.
If the question is just broadly, does a championship or finals MVP help someone's resume or the way we look at them? Of course it does. Of course it enhances it.
Yeah, he's a superstar. Yeah.
So we all agree with me. Greeny is next. Tomorrow is the day we've all been waiting for. Key is back, and the two-on-two challenge is on.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.